It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
This is the RTC Weekly Download, where we feature great old-time radio shows with restored sound, and today is no exception. We're going to start off with an episode of Lux Radio Theater and a noir classic, High Wall, with Van Heflin from 1948. And about 1 hour from now, we're going to have an episode of High Adventure. And this one's from 1977, a little bit later than most of the stuff we have, but it's interesting because it features snakes. And people are afraid of snakes, and if you listen, you'll find out why. That's coming up in about an hour. But right now, the Lux Radio Theater and High Wall.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Van Heflin and Janet Leigh in High Wall. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Millions of Americans stay up long past bedtime to explore the fascinating world of whodunit, because the mystery story is a standby of modern entertainment. It intrigues presidents and producers and plain people alike. And tonight, we present a classic in the field, the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer hit High Wall. Starring in this drama of suspense and romance, you'll hear an old favorite of yours, Van Heflin, along with a bright new star making her first appearance here tonight, Miss Janet Leigh. But however much you enjoy suspense in a mystery play, it's something you don't want in your own home. And that's where Lux Flakes come in. In caring for fine materials, there's no suspense when you trust the job to Lux Flakes. Our stars are on stage, and the curtain rises for the first act of High Wall, starring Van Heflin as Steve Kennett and Janet Leigh as Dr. Ann Lorison. Police headquarters in a large city, the Central Homicide Bureau.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Whitcomb?
Thank you.
Well, we were lucky to find you tonight. My name's Wallace, Assistant District Attorney.
Well, I would have been here sooner, Mr. Wallace, but they asked me to identify the body. Mrs. Kennett was my secretary.
Your manager, the Brattle Press, is that correct?
Yes, a publishing house. Religious and educational textbooks. This is shocking, Mr. Wallace. What happened?
Well, she was strangled sometime late this afternoon.
Well, if I can be of any help, any information.
Have you any?
Well, I don't really know. Perhaps it has no bearing, but Mrs. Kennett's husband returned home today after an absence of 2 years.
You know him?
No, I never met him. I was out of my office most of the day. When I returned, they told me he'd been there, Mr. Kennett. He was looking for his wife. Very agitated, they said.
Well, wasn't she there?
No, she wasn't. I sent Mrs. Kennett to my home to pick up some manuscripts.
Did they tell that to Kennett?
Why, yes, of course.
Oh. Did Mrs. Kennett return to the office?
No, but under the circumstances, we thought nothing of it. We all assumed she went straight home with her husband. Perhaps if you can find Mr. Kennett.
Oh, we've found him, all right. They've got him in the next room. Let's see what he's told them.
All right, Kennett, we'll go over it once again. The two of you were in your wife's car, and you deliberately drove it off the bridge, isn't that right? Oh, come in, Wallace.
Mr. Whitcomb, Inspector.
We'll be through in a minute. Well, Kennett?
But I told you what happened.
After you strangled her, you wanted it to look like an accident, a broken neck and an auto crash. But you knew you could walk away from that kind of an accident, didn't you?
I told you that I killed her in the park, and then I tried to kill myself.
That's good enough for me, Inspector. It isn't often they come this easy.
Dr. Adams here wants us to stall a while.
That's right, Wallace. I've examined him.
Drunk?
No, but he's been through some recent head surgery.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, as police surgeon, I can't pass him. I'll have to look him over at psychiatric.
But he's confessed.
I'm sorry, but he's got to go to psycho first.
Well, let's get it over with. Come on, Kennett. Let's go.
A tragedy, Mr. Wallace. A young man like that.
You can never tell, Mr. Whitcomb.
He had a fine war record, too. So his wife told
me. A few hours ago, he committed murder.
If there's anything else I can do...
Well, we'll probably need you when he comes to trial. I'll let you know, Mr. Whitcomb.
So I've called the staff together because I have some rather interesting x-rays to show you. I believe you have the report from the admitting desk, Dr. Lorison?
Yes, Dr. Dunlap. The patient's name is Stephen Kennett, age 34. Admitted Monday for observation, confessed to murder of wife and attempted suicide. Exhibited violence at time of admission, now confined in Ward C, isolation.
Any apparent cause for this violence?
Dr. Powlett?
The clerk at the desk was making a routine inventory of the patient's possessions. There was a snapshot of a child, a little boy. Kennett wanted to keep the picture.
And since then?
No violence, but the patients remained sullen and uncooperative. But I believe you've spent more time with them than I have, sir.
Now, if you'll turn out the light, we'll have a look at these x-rays. Here we are. Now, you'll see here a subdural hematoma of the left frontal lobe. This blood clot is causing pressure on the brain. As you know, such pressure can produce both physical and emotional changes, and true to form, the patient has shown irritability, local pain, and lapses of memory. Lights, please. You've checked his physical condition again, Dr. Power?
Yes, sir. Heart, blood pressure, respiration, normal.
Then there seems no need to delay. Dr. Lorison, you'll prepare Mr. Kennett for surgery.
Yes, Doctor.
Morning, Doctor. Nice, quiet morning so far.
Hello, Delaney. Where's the new patient, Stephen Kennett?
Right here in 11. Better watch him. He's real antisocial.
Open up for me, will you, Delaney?
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Kennett. I'm Dr. Lorenson. You can wait outside, Delaney.
But I think I better...
Wait outside, please. You're going to be one of my patients, Mr. Kennett.
Get out.
Would you care to tell me anything? What about those headaches, for
instance? I said get out.
Mr. Kennett, we're very fortunate to have a neurosurgeon like Dr. Dunlap, and he feels certain he can remove the cause of your headaches.
He does, huh?
Yes, he does. Now, if you'll just sign here, giving us your consent, we can...
Surgery? Oh, no, I let him do that before. Now get out of here and cut up some other guinea pig.
Very well, Mr. Kennett. The orderly's name is Delaney. If you have any pain, he'll call me. Lock up, Delaney, that's all.
That's it, Mr. Wallace. Kenneth's refused the operation.
Of course he's refused. Sit the law out, stall for time, and come to court and get an acquittal on a plea of temporary insanity.
The court sent him here for observation, and we'd like to continue along those lines.
I don't want Kenneth psychoanalyzed. I just want him cleared for trial. He's sane. I'm talking about legal sanity. Did he know the difference between right and wrong when he murdered his wife?
Did he, Mr. Wallace?
Why, of course he did. Examine his background. He was a bomber pilot. He married during the war. Head injury in combat. Operation performed in Army Hospital, yes, and successfully, too. Want to see that report again?
What about after the war?
He was restless, had to keep moving. He went to Burma flying freight. Left his old mother and his wife and his child here. Mrs. Kennett got a secretarial job. I suppose she had to.
What point are you making?
Just this. A month ago in Burma, he was in a slight crack-up. Oh, here. Here's a cable from the doctor who examined him.
Advised Kennett, second operation imperative. Warned him possibility of violent headaches, fainting spells, and loss of memory. Oh, well, that's exactly what Dr. Dunlap says.
You see, Mr. Wallace, that accident following the initial surgery resulted in a blood clot that's pressing on the brain.
Sure, that's his defense. He was planning to use this doctor's diagnosis as a license to murder his wife.
I'm sorry, but we can't certify as to his sanity until we observe him after he's had his second operation.
And he refuses it.
His mother's consent is all you need. She's not very well at the moment, but you shouldn't have any trouble with her.
We prefer having his consent. But if you insist, we'll see her today. Can you take care of that, Dr. Lorison?
Yes, I think so.
He'll pull through the operation, won't he?
No reason why he shouldn't.
Good. I'd hate to lose him.
Feeling better, Mr. Kennett?
Today was visiting day, Dr. Lorison.
Yes?
Why didn't I see my visitor? And don't tell me that my mother wasn't here.
You're entitled to see visitors, and your mother was not here.
Thanks, that's all I wanted to know.
That pleases you, doesn't it? You've been hoping your mother would take your son away, where no one would know him, where no one could tell him about you.
Your time's valuable, Doctor. Don't waste it. You can't talk me into that operation.
I was hoping you'd changed your mind.
No trial, no operation. I'll be here permanently, right?
It's possible.
All right, then how about getting me out of this chicken coop? I rate the ward, don't I? Some pretty nice people in the ward. All in all, it's not a bad setup. Room and board, lots of company, radio, library, and all for free.
Mr. Kennett, I'm sorry that I have to tell you this, but your mother died this morning.
What are you trying to do to me?
Dr. Powell and I went to your house. We found her on the floor. You know she'd been ill, chronic heart condition. Well, apparently recent events were too much for her. Oh, but don't let that alter your decision to stay here, Mr. Kennett. Your son will be taken care of in the county orphanage.
Where is he now? What are they doing to him?
He's all right. I know now why you object to surgery. You don't want to go to trial, do you? You know there's a chance of acquittal on the grounds of temporary insanity, but you don't want to risk it. Oh, you'd rather spend your life here than face your child again. You want to escape from a reality, and you can. But do you know what happens to a child when he suddenly loses his entire family? Do you know what life is like for an orphan in a public institution? Oh, yes, you'll escape reality, Mr. Kennett, but your son will
not. I don't have to listen to this. You can't make me listen.
You've heard all I have to say. Lock up, Delaney.
Really, Anne, there are times when I simply don't understand you, bringing a child here, a strange child you don't even know.
But I told you, Aunt Martha, I just can't see a child in that state of shock put in a public institution.
You'll be put in a public institution yourself for kidnapping.
No, it's quite legal. They gave me temporary custody. Now, how is he? Is he asleep?
I don't think so. He didn't touch a bite of supper.
Oh. Well, let me bring it back to him and I'll see what I can do.
I like the room. I don't want to go downstairs.
Well, then you stay right here, just as long as you like, dear. Well, I see you still have your kitty.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I brought back your supper, Richard, just in case you get hungry a little later on. And if you want anything, you'll call me, won't you? Do you know my name?
Yes, ma'am. It's Anne.
That's right.
Grandma said Daddy was coming home. I waited for him, but he never came.
Well, your daddy wants you to stay with me for a little while. You know, I'll bet that kitty's hungry, too. Suppose you feed her. Here, I'll pour a little of your milk in the saucer. I'll be back a little later, dear, when it's time to go to bed.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I'll get it, Aunt Martha. Hello?
This is Dr. Dunlap, Anne. Well, congratulations.
Oh, for what?
Well, I don't know what tricks you used, but they certainly worked. Kenneth's going through with the operation. He actually asked for surgery.
Oh, that's fine, Doctor. I'm really pleased. Thank you for calling me.
You don't seem to understand, Mr. Kenneth. I'm your lawyer. I've been appointed by the court to defend you. Why, ever since you had that operation, I've been working day and night on this case. For 5 weeks,
That's very nice, Mr. Hacker, but you're moving a little too fast for me. For one thing, I'm still a patient in this hospital.
Well, I can't keep you here. The operation was a success.
We have no intention of keeping Mr. Kennett here any longer than we have to.
Meanwhile, there's something that I want you to do for me. My son's in an orphan asylum. I want you to arrange his release. That's the first thing.
You don't really mean that.
Why not?
Man alive, you're knocking the props out from our whole defense. I'm counting on your son. On the day the case goes to the jury, I'll bring that child into the courtroom. In the gray clothes of the orphan asylum, his face pale. Why, that frail, pathetic little creature is the backbone of our case.
Mr. Hackle, they've given me back my clothes, my belt, and my tie. I don't want to go back into isolation. That's the only reason I'm not going to break your neck.
Well, obviously, you're not prepared to discuss your defense at all. Dr. Lawrison, you may phone me when he's a little more rash.
I'll be glad to, Mr. Hackle.
8,000 decent lawyers in the state, and they have to pick him. Tell me something. How much longer before I'm sent to the county jail?
Well, there's still several tests we want to make. Why?
Once I'm out of here, I can hire the kind of a lawyer I need to get my boy out of that orphanage and into a good school.
Mr. Kennett, Richard's not in an institution. He's living with a private family.
But how did that happen?
Well, we decided he needed personal care. He's staying with a Mrs. Martha Ferguson. She was delighted to have a youngster in the house, and he's doing fine.
I don't know how to thank you.
Well, now before you can get out of here, I'm going to have to prepare a full report about you. So shall we go to my office and start making those tests?
He's doing fine, you said. He's doing fine.
I'm a little puzzled, Anne. First, you say you've made all the routine tests, and now you tell us you can't make an official report.
I can't, Dr. Dunlap. I'm convinced that Kennett is still concealing something.
The district attorney's been on my neck for days. We can't keep Kennett if he doesn't belong here.
And what makes you say he's concealing something?
Many things, Dr. Poward. But I can't tell you if it's deliberate or not.
The police will say it is deliberate, that Kennett planned to murder his wife and plead temporary insanity.
Where's Kennett now?
He's out in the hall. I hoped you'd see him.
Bring him in, Anne. Let's see what we can find out.
Sure, I'll try to answer anything you doctors want to ask me.
Well, prior to your operation, Mr. Kennett, you suffered lapses of memory. You haven't filled in those gaps yet, or have you?
I don't know whether I have or not.
You can't remember, or you don't want to remember?
Look, Dr. Poward, thanks to you people, I've regained my health. There's only one thing more that you can do for me. Turn me over to the police for trial.
What about narcosynthesis, Dr. Lorison?
He refused to let me try it.
That's right, I refused.
You refused the operation, too, but now you're glad you changed
your
mind.
This is something entirely different.
No. No, I don't think it is. Narcosynthesis is merely a mild injection of sodium pentothal to stimulate your memory. It might be very helpful in filling in those lapses.
Helpful? To whom? No, I'm sorry. This is the way I prefer it. That's my legal right, isn't it?
Why are you so intent upon an immediate trial?
Because, guilty or not, I'll be out of here. I'll be able to handle my finances and provide for my son's future. That's the only important thing.
You love your son a great deal, don't you?
Is that so unusual? Well, if you'll excuse me now, I'd like to go back to my room.
There's still some tests I'd like to make.
Anything you want, except that narcosynthesis business.
Very well, Mr. Kennett.
I still don't know why you can't set a time. Am I getting out of this hospital or not?
Yes, I think so. It'll be another 3 or 4 days.
3 or 4 days? For what? Ever since the operation, there's been no question about me, mentally or physically.
Except the lapses of memory.
Nobody expects me to remember things that happened when I was out of my mind. No mind, no memory.
And that'll be your line of defense.
Why not? Memory of things that happened before the operation could be quite a liability.
Uh-huh, I see. Sit down, Mr. Kennett. This machine here will make a record of your muscular control and neuromuscular coordination. Any objections?
None at all.
Take hold of these grips, one in each hand. You try to keep your pressure the same. Now, you grip and relax, grip and relax. Here, first your left hand. That's it. Grip and relax. Grip and relax.
Yeah.
Grip and... Well?
Nothing.
No, what's the matter? Why are you staring at your hands?
I killed my wife with my hands.
But you've told us that several times. Now, why would it suddenly disturb you so much?
Could it happen in a single second?
Could what happen?
Could you strangle someone in just 1 second?
Why, no. No, you couldn't.
I didn't do it, Dr. Larson. I know now I didn't do it.
In a moment, our stars will return with Act Two of High Wall. Now, here's our producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Act Two of High Wall, starring Van Heflin as Steve Kennett and Janet Lee as Dr. Anne Larison. Some weeks ago, Helen Kennett was murdered. At the time, Mrs. Kennett was a secretary employed by Mr. Willard Whitcomb. Now in his apartment house, Mr. Whitcomb pauses in the lobby to greet the elevator operator.
Well, so it's you, Mr. Croner. Glad to see you back at work.
Arthritis, Mr. Whitcomb. Been in bed for weeks. Say, that was your secretary got herself murdered by her husband, wasn't it?
Yes. A terrible thing, Mr. Croner.
I read all about it in the newspapers and how you told the police she worked for you and what a fine woman she was.
Can we go in the elevator, please?
Oh, sure, I'll take you up. About my arthritis, Mr. Whitcomb, doctor says I need to go to Florida. Need plenty of sunshine, he says. Oh, but that takes money, lots of money. Do you think I ought to go to the police, Mr. Whitcomb?
Police?
Oh, I'm a man who knows things, Mr. Whitcomb. Not only what it says in the papers, but what it don't say. That's why I thought you ought to know what the doctor said.
Croner, the penalty for blackmail in this state is very severe. And this is my floor.
Sorry in such a rush, Mr. Whitcomb, but I'll be around whenever you'd like to talk to me.
That's what I said, Mr. Kennett. You got a visitor. See, that little guy in the corner.
I don't know him, Delaney.
Want me to chase him?
No. No, let me see what he wants.
You don't know me, Mr. Kennett, but my name's Croner. I'm the elevator man at 106 Maple Street.
What do you want, Mr. Croner?
Well, I don't want nothing but justice. I followed your whole case in the papers. And you know, they never mentioned anything about the three of you being in that apartment. Oh, you're interested, huh?
I might be. What have you got?
Well, I've got cost money, Mr. Kennett.
I'm not allowed to handle my money right now, but I'll be out of here soon. I'm being transferred to the county jail.
Well, that's okay with me. I'm in no hurry.
But can't you tell me what it's all about?
If I tell you now, I won't have it anymore. See you in the county jail, Mr. Kennett.
Delaney.
Well, that was short and sweet.
Delaney, I've got to see Dr. Larson.
It's a day off, remember?
Well, tomorrow, then, just as soon as she gets here.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Croner.
Hello, Mr. Whitcomb. Sorry you can't use the elevator. You'll have to walk down.
Well, what's wrong with the elevator?
The floor indicator got broken. I'm trying to fix it.
Well, isn't that dangerous? Working on a stepladder in front of an open shaft?
Yes, yes. Maybe it is. I think I'll come down. Besides, maybe you want to talk to me.
I've been thinking about your arthritis, Mr. Croner, and I'd like to make you a loan of $500.
Oh, we can't cure anything for a few hundred dollars, Mr. Whitcomb.
Oh, I was hoping we could.
You know where I was today? I called on a fella in the county nut house. Going to go to trial soon, I think. Wants me to testify for him. What a generous fella he is.
Suppose I sent you to Florida for the entire winter. That wouldn't prevent your arthritis from coming back next year. And the year after that? Or would it?
That's hard to say, Mr. Whitcomb.
Be ashamed to see you suffer, Croner. Year after year.
So that's why you were so anxious to see me, Mr. Kennett.
That's right, Doctor. That injection, that narcosynthesis, I'm ready now anytime you are.
What made you change your mind?
Well, I told you that I didn't kill her. Well, now I'm still more certain that I didn't. And maybe with this narcosynthesis, I'll recall things to prove it. Tell me, how far under will you put me?
Oh, not far. You'll be able to remember everything that you say. Just sit down and I'll get everything ready.
I'll start at the beginning. I remember getting off the plane, going home, seeing my mother. But the important thing is 106 Maple Street. I want to know everything that happened there. That's where I'm really hazy.
The injection's ready. Flex your hand, please. Okay?
Okay.
What's 106 Maple Street? I never heard you mention that before.
That's right. Question me about that. Start there.
Oh, no. Not so fast. Now try to relax, Stephen. Just lie back and relax. Steve, can you hear me?
Yes.
We're going back, Steve. You're home now. Home from Burma. Oh, and your mother. She's so happy to see you again.
Oh, I just can't believe that you're really here.
Now, where's the rest of my family, Mom? Where's Helen and Dickie?
Why, Dickie's in school, dear.
School? Oh, I keep thinking he's still only 4 years old. And Helen, she's out shopping, I suppose.
No, she's at the office.
What office?
Why, Helen's been working more than a year now.
Working? But why?
Oh, Steve, we wrote you all about it. Don't you remember?
No, I don't. This head of mine, it acts up every now and then.
You didn't go through with that operation, did you?
No, I wanted to get home. I'll have it done here.
You're through with flying, aren't you, Steve?
That's right, Mom. Grounded.
Oh, I'm so glad. Professor Burns told me they're holding that research fellowship open for you at the university.
Yes, he wrote me. Well, I won't stand for any more of Helen's objections.
Oh, Steve, she's young, pretty. Naturally, money seems important to her.
Other things are important, too. She got the car?
Yes.
Well, I'll take the bus into town and ride back with her.
Well, she won't be through till 5, dear.
She'll be through when I get there.
Don't stop, Steve. Keep going. You went to Helen's office.
Helen wasn't there. She was out on an errand. 106 Maple Street.
Was this another office?
An apartment house. A man took me up in the elevator. He never shut up about his arthritis. I went to the door of the apartment.
Forget your key, dear. The door's unlocked.
Steve! Why, darling, if I'd known you were coming, I would have been there to meet you.
Stop it, Helen.
Oh, no, Steve, you're wrong.
This place. What are you doing here?
You've got to let me explain, Steve. What you're thinking is all wrong.
Is it?
Steve, don't look at me like that. Listen to me. You're not well, Steve. You're sick. Let me take you home.
You're meeting someone here, aren't you? Aren't you?
I said I can explain. Steve, think of Richard. Think of your son. I'm his mother. I'm his...
I can remember putting my hands around her throat and that's all. That's all I remember.
Until when, Steve?
I don't know. I fainted or something. When I came to, I was lying on the floor. Helen was slumped in the corner. She was dead. There were things all over the floor. Cigarettes, a chair knocked over, a lamp, Helen's purse, things that I'd seen when I came into the apartment. Only something else I'd seen was missing.
Do you know what it was?
I don't know. I can't remember. Something else was missing.
Well, that's enough for now, Steve. Don't worry. The first treatment is often inconclusive.
No, I've got to find out. The apartment's the only answer.
We can get a court order and have the police take you there. Steve, about Helen, what did you do? Do you remember?
Yes. I carried her down the fire escape and put her in the car. On account of my mother and the boy, I couldn't have her found in his apartment. And then I drove the car off the bridge, trying to kill myself.
Oh, Steve, don't delude yourself. Yes, I was right. There is something missing. And I think I know now what it is. What's missing is your willingness to admit to yourself the real reason for killing her. You had no proof she'd been unfaithful. It goes much deeper than that. It was a wartime romance, wasn't it?
Yes. We met and got married. A week later, I was in Europe.
Uh-huh. And after the war, the only job you wanted paid very little, and Helen said it wasn't enough. Am I right?
Well...
So you went back to flying, and you hated it. Oh, admit it, Steve. Those years in Burma alone, you were building up a deep resentment against her. Steve. Steve, do you hear me?
I can't keep awake. I'm going to sleep.
Oh, that's good. It's the best thing for you. Now, try not to think about anything. Oh, orderly.
Yes, doctor.
There's a patient resting in my office, and I'm going home now. Would you please take him to Ward C about 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. Yes, doctor.
Thank you.
Keep going, doctor. 106 Maple Street.
It was very clever to pretend you were asleep.
I got out through your office window.
That window was locked.
I know, but you left the key in the pocket of your smock. Here it is. It's easy finding your car. Your space in the parking lot has your name on it.
Well, you've thought of everything, haven't you? Everything except what this is going to do to you, risking everything for nothing.
For nothing? Even if I'm acquitted, I can't face my son again. What do you tell a kid of 6? Forget it, Richard. When I killed your mother, I was temporarily insane.
Oh, let me turn around. You can hide in the back of the car again, and no one will ever know that you got out.
No, I've got to prove that I didn't kill her. It's the only way that I'll be able to face him again. It's worth taking any chance for. So... Doctor, don't get any ideas, and don't make me jumpy. No one's going to stand in my way now. No one.
Just because his phone didn't answer doesn't mean he isn't home now, or that he won't come home.
Keep quiet. We're going up the fire escape.
Oh, this is a big mistake, Steve. Please don't...
Start climbing, Doctor.
I'll be right in back of you just in case you slip. This is it, Whitcomb, his apartment. The murderer returns to the scene of his crime.
Oh, Steve, this is absurd.
I stand where you are now. All right. Let's pretend that you're Helen. I opened the front door there. You came from the hall. You started to back away. Guilt written all over you. You wanted a chance to explain, to take me home. Think of Richard. Think of your son. You're his mother. I put my hands around your throat.
Steve, Steve, you're hurting me.
But you're alive. You're not hurt. I blacked out. When I came to, I was there on the floor. Cigarettes on the floor, like this. Chair. The end table, lamp overturned, and Helen. Helen was there in the corner. Now, how did she get over there? Wait a minute. I remember now. I remember what was missing.
What is it?
It's an overnight bag, Helen's. It was there next to that bookcase. Maybe it's still there. Maybe it's in the closet.
Steve, we have to get out of here.
Well, we'll get out. No, it's not here. This'll do, this valise.
But that's Whitcomb's valise.
Have you got your lipstick in your purse? Give it to me.
Lipstick? Yes, but...
Yes, I'm writing two initials on this valise, just as they were on the other one. H for Helen, K for Kennett. Let him find it here by the bookcase.
Steve, let's go, please.
You don't believe me. But I couldn't possibly have killed her. My fingers had scarcely closed around her throat when I blacked out. It was a perfect setup for Whitcomb.
We'd better put everything in order, just the way we found it.
No, don't touch anything. Okay, you can drive me back to the hospital now.
How are you going to get back in the hospital?
Somewhere got out your window. The orderly will find me right where you said he would. And you,
I don't know.
You'll report me. Well, I can't stop you.
The guards will be making the rounds any minute now.
Anne, look, I came back with you, didn't I? I could have run away. Nobody'll know that I've been gone if you don't turn me in. But if you do, I'll be put back in isolation. There's no release, no trial. I'll never be able to do anything for Richard.
You'd better go in, Steve. Hurry. Hello?
Anne, this is Dr. Dunlap.
Oh, yes, Dr. Dunlap.
I've a message here that you called me at 8 o'clock. Something about Kennett.
Oh, yes, I did call you, Dr. Dunlap. But I realize now I shouldn't have disturbed you.
Well, what about Kennett? Anything wrong, Anne?
No, Doctor, nothing at all, really. I'm sorry that I bothered you.
You've been working too hard. Try and get a good night's rest.
I'll try, Doctor. Thank you.
Interrupt your reading, Mr. Kennett, but you got a visitor downstairs.
Yes, I know.
You know?
Mr. Willard Whitcomb.
Hey, what goes on here?
It's a good guess, huh?
Well, do you want to see him or not? He's in now with Dr. Dunlap.
Oh, you bet I want to see him. Thanks, Delaney.
I should have come here long ago, Dr. Dunlap. You see, Kennett's wife was my secretary. A splendid girl, Doctor, and a devoted wife.
It's very nice of you to take this interest in him, Mr. Whitcomb. Well, he'll be released for trial this week.
Oh, that's fine. Then my offer will be coming along at the right time.
I'm sure it'll be appreciated. Well, Kenneth's waiting for you. I'll have an orderly take you to the visiting room.
You don't know me, Mr. Kennett. I'm Willard Whitcomb.
Yes?
You've been expecting me.
Have I?
Oh, well, I must apologize for not visiting you sooner. You've been in here quite a while now. In and out.
In and out.
Kennett, I've been discussing your case with a very fine criminal lawyer. I was just telling Dr. Dunlap about him. Well, anyway, this friend of mine is positive he can get you an acquittal. Well, naturally, his fee is rather high, but I'll assume all costs.
Why should you?
Well, I feel that your wife Well, that is, I'm sure she'd want me to do all I can. Now, when would you like to see this attorney?
Don't bother, Mr. Whitcomb.
You want to be acquitted, don't you?
I will be. And don't let that friend of yours get away. You may need a fine criminal lawyer yourself.
I know what you're thinking, Kennett, and whom you're depending on. The man who came to see you, Croner, the elevator man. Haven't you heard? He can't testify for you. Poor man, he fell down an elevator shaft. The police said he died instantly as a result of the accident.
Just a minute, Whitcomb.
Now be sensible, Kennett. My offer is your only way out. Better accept it now. I'm leaving tomorrow for some of the Southern Sunshine Croner priced so highly. And remember, any accusations you make against me will be ridicule, the ravings of a lunatic. Croner's gone, Kennett. There's no possible way you can prove I killed your wife.
You did it.
Of course I did.
You admit that.
Now let go of me.
I'll kill you if it's the last thing. Don't let him get away. He killed my wife.
Oh, so this is the man you people are ready to release for trial, a homicidal maniac.
Don't worry, mister. He won't be going anywhere.
Listen to me, please. He killed my wife.
Come on, Kenneth.
Don't let him get away. Stop him. Stop him.
Good afternoon. This is airline reservations.
This is Willard Whitcomb. You have a reservation in my name for Mexico City tonight.
Yes, Mr. Whitcomb.
Well, I thought surely I'd have to make the trip, but now I find it won't be necessary for me to go after all. Cancel my reservation, please.
We pause now for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to Same Time, Same Station, the best of old-time radio. And I'm your host, Jerry Hendigas.
Now, here's our producer, Mr. William Keeley.
The curtain rises on the third act of High Wall, starring Van Heflin as Stephen Kennett and Janet Leigh as Dr. Ann Lorison. It's a few hours later. Ann Lorison has just come on duty in the hospital and is met with the news that Stephen Kennett is once again in solitary confinement.
Steve, what happened? Why did he put you here?
I've got to get out. You've got to get me out of here.
Now tell me calmly, what happened?
Why don't you come in here?
They said you tried to kill someone.
Are you afraid to come in here?
Oh, no. No, of course not. Now, who was here this morning?
Whitcomb. I knew he'd come. He had to find out how much I knew. I thought I had him, but he got me instead. You remember that elevator man in his apartment?
Yes.
Well, he's dead. Whitcomb killed him.
How do you know that?
He told me, and then he told me that he killed Helen. Boasted about it right to my face. Like a fool, I grabbed him. That's exactly what Whitcomb wanted me to do.
We'll tell the police, Steve.
The police? Haven't you heard? I've already told the district attorney I'm committed here for good. Anything I say from now on will be the ravings of a maniac. And you've got to help me get out of here.
Oh, of course I will.
No, but tonight... Whitcomb's leaving town, he told me. If I can catch him in his apartment, I can make him talk.
I want you to get well, Steve. There isn't anything in the world I wouldn't do for that. Trust me.
You think I belong in this room, don't you? And I've got things to do in this world. Good things. A boy to take care of. A profession. Work. You know that. If I don't make Whitcomb talk, I've got nothing. And I'm going out of here. Give me that key.
Steve.
Now, look, I don't want to hurt you. Give it to me.
No, I won't. I can't.
I'm sorry, but I've got to have it.
You'll lose every chance you've ever had. You can't get away, Steve. You can't do it.
We don't know too much, Anne. After Kennett locked you in his cell, he stole an orderly's clothes and got out through the kitchen. Then he took your car and was past the guard at the gate before the alarm was sounded. But we'll have him back before morning.
You're sure of that, Dr. Dunlap?
The police are closing in on him right now. They're describing him as a homicidal maniac.
Well, this is all Whitcomb's doing. When he came here this morning, he taunted Kennett. He thought that he could make...
That's what Kennett told you?
Do you know that it isn't true?
Do you know that it is?
I know one thing, that we've got to stop this manhunt. He'll resist the police and they'll shoot him down.
I've suspected for some time that your interest in Kennett isn't completely clinical. Now, look, Anne. Kennett escaped. There's nothing we can do about it.
He did it to get at the truth. He did it to clear himself.
He'll go after Whitcomb. Well, you'll find the police are waiting for him.
I'm off duty, Doctor. Do you have any objections if I leave?
No. No, but it's raining and your car's gone.
I'll call a cab.
I'll phone you at home, Anne, if I hear anything.
Thank you.
This neighborhood's sure dripping with cops, miss. If you just want me to keep cruising?
Yes, yes, please, just keep cruising.
Hey, what's going on? How come all the cops?
Oh, you'll read about it in the morning papers.
Oh, so that's what you are, a newspaper lady.
Will you go to the corner and then turn down Maple Street again? Oh, no, 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 wait. Pull over and stop.
Here?
Yes, stop. Here, right here by the church.
That'll be $3.
Oh, here, take it.
Night, lady.
Steve. Steve, it's me, Ann.
Walk down the alley.
Oh, Steve, I'm so glad I found you. I've been cruising up and down those streets for an hour.
Stop playing policeman, Doctor. I'm not going back.
Steve, I want to help you. That's why I'm here.
Don't be a fool. Your whole life will be ruined if they find you with me.
I'm trying to tell you that it doesn't matter. Steve, if Whitcomb isn't guilty, if he doesn't confess, then there's nothing. Nothing for either one of us.
Well, we can't stay here.
There's nowhere to go. Police are all over the neighborhood.
There's a cafe a few blocks away. It's in the opposite direction. Come on, let's start walking.
Those clothes you're wearing, where did you get them, Steve?
Gas station near Eastbury. The attendant got suspicious when I stopped for gas. I took his clothes in his car.
Steve, you...
No, I didn't touch him. I locked him in the washroom and kept going. Ann, I'm wasting time here.
Look, be sensible, Steve. There's no possible way you can reach Whitcomb tonight. Look, why don't you come to my house? We can talk things over there and you can see Richard.
Richard?
Uh-huh. I've had him ever since that first day.
But you told me of Mrs. Ferguson.
I know. She's my aunt.
He's been with you all this time?
Yes. He likes it there, Steve. Oh, he's a wonderful little boy.
Tom! Hey, Tom Conover, my pal Tom. Well, what do you know? Well, don't you remember me?
I'm sorry, chum. I'm afraid you're mistaken.
You're not Tom Conover from Cincinnati?
Look, do you mind?
Oh, deeply sorry, sir. Sorry, madam. Hey, waiter, bring us a drink.
Now, just a minute.
Oh, permit me, madam. My name is Pinky. Might I inquire as to yours?
Betty.
Look, will you please stop annoying us? We're busy here.
Oh, well, simmer down, pal. Simmer down. I'm just trying to pour a little milk into human kindness, that's all.
Ann, I want you to go back to the hospital. I'm going to have another try at Maple Street.
Oh, it's suicide, Steve. The police have you down as a homicidal maniac. And all this talk about your son. You've got to live for him... If for no other reason.
If you thought it was so hopeless, why did you bring that stuff along with you?
What do you mean, what stuff?
When you opened your purse before, that little box, a hypodermic needle, isn't it?
Oh.
Sodium pentothal?
Well, I thought if you ever did find Whitcomb, it might help us to get at the truth.
Well, then let's start finding him. I tell you, we can... Oh, wait a minute.
What is it?
That drunk just now, I've got an idea. You, Pinky.
You insulted me. That's what you did. You insulted me.
But I want to apologize.
You want to... Oh, well, that's more like it, Jack.
How did you know my name's Jack?
Well, it is.
That's right. And you've already met my wife. Look, how'd you like to hop in a cab and take a little ride? I'll explain the whole thing about why I look like Tom Connell.
Well, fine. If this lovely little lady goes with us...
Well, the lady's busy, has to look after the baby. You and I will pay a visit to a very interesting fellow.
Oh, no, you don't. You're not going any place without me.
I shall say not.
Well, let's not argue about it here. Come on, we'll find a taxi.
I still think we should stop at Anne's house, Jack.
Yeah, Anne's house. A foursome. We can have a real nice party.
I got a better idea, Pinky. Why don't you drop me off and you and Betty step out for some dancing? I'll take care of the baby alone.
Oh, what a wonderful friend. What a wonderful friend.
Oh, no, no. No matter what Jack says, I'm going with him. I don't think he'll be able to take care of the baby by himself.
Oh, just when I get all set for a big evening, you got to take care of the baby.
Oh, he's a real problem child,
Hey,
Pinky.
Driver.
Yes, sir?
Turn around. Take us to 106 Maple Street.
Watch it, Lieutenant. There's a car coming down the street.
It's okay, Sergeant. It's a cab.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Looks like it's stopping here, though.
A lot of people live in here. It's a big apartment house. Two men and a dame. Now, keep your eyes on them.
Sorry we couldn't make a night of it, Pinky. How about a rain check, huh?
Oh, I wish you wouldn't go home. Please, I beg you. Look, how about another little drink, Pinky? Betty, just a little bitchy-witchy one, huh?
You know what, Pinky? I think you're drunk.
She thinks I'm drunk. Hey, officer, come on down here and arrest me. She says I'm drunk.
People better get moving. We're trying to keep this street clear.
You heard him, Pinky. How about dinner Tuesday night?
At my house.
Fine, fine. How much, driver?
Oh, no, no, no. Driver, his money's no good. Besides, I want to ride some more.
Thanks, Pinky. See you later.
Yeah, kiss the baby for me, Betty. Don't forget now.
Don't you worry, pal. I won't forget.
Keep walking in, straight through the lobby.
Then what?
The stairs.
Good evening, officer.
Just a minute.
Yes?
You live here?
Well, you don't think we're playing games, do you? What are you policemen doing here anyway?
Never mind what we're doing here. Just get in your apartment and lock the door.
Well, of all the nerve.
So far, so good. Thanks.
Who is it?
Halloran and Schaefer again, Mr. Whitcomb.
Oh, just a minute.
Okay to use your phone again?
Why, certainly. Anything new?
Not a thing, Mr. Whitcomb. Hello, this is Captain Halloran. Give me the roof. Who's this? Oh, okay, Sam. This is Halloran. Just been touring the block all quiet. Anything else for me? Hmm? When? Oh, okay. We'll be around. Call you back in an hour. Well, you can relax, Mr. Whitcomb.
They caught him?
Just about. Picked himself up an outfit of clothes in car near Eastbury, headed for the state line. State cops will have him by morning. Come on, Chief.
Oh, there's no hurry, gentlemen. Time for a drink, haven't you?
I don't think we'd better, Mr. Whitcomb.
Oh, but you're not leaving.
Don't worry. We'll be in the building.
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I feel very sorry for Kenneth, poor demented fellow. Seems to have nothing to look forward to except a lifetime in a padded cell. He'd be better off dead.
He'll probably wind up that way. Well, here's the elevator. We'll check with you from time to time, Mr. Whitcomb.
Yes, but... yes, thank you.
Don't raise your voice, Whitcomb.
Kenneth.
And move away from that door. Ann, stay where you are in there.
The police. They'll be back.
Sure. I'll call them when I want them. It was a nice break you gave me, leaving your door open when you walked to the elevator.
They've orders to shoot. You'd better give yourself up.
I'll kill you before anyone gets here. The law says that I'm insane. I'm not responsible. You fix that.
Now, wait, Kenneth, wait. I can hide you here. I've got money. You can get out of the country. Plenty of money. Now, just let me open this door and I'll... Yeah.
Hey. All right, Ann. Come here.
What happened?
He had a gun in the drawer. I don't think he wants to fight anymore. Or do you, Mr. Whitcomb?
Don't.
You ready, Ann?
I'm all set. Can you hear me, Mr. Whitcomb? I'm going to give you an injection of sodium pentothal. You can't resist. You're going to tell the truth. Can you hear me, Mr. Whitcomb? You're going back to the last time you saw Helen Kennett. You're going to remember everything that happened, and you're going to tell us, Mr. Whitcomb. You're going to answer all our questions. Truthfully.
Well, I guess this is it.
Yes, Mr. Whitcomb?
Tell a couple of those policemen there in the lobby to come right up.
Anything wrong up there?
Keep talking, Mr. Whitcomb. These men want to hear about it, too.
She told me that. That her husband had found her here. He was over there on the floor, unconscious. She said
he kept coming toward me, Willard. He grabbed my throat and then, well, I don't know what, he fainted or something.
Stop being hysterical,
Helen. But we've got to think of something now before he comes to. We can't afford a scandal.
It's quite a surprise, Helen, his coming home. It's a shame.
Oh, I'll divorce him, Willard. You don't have to worry about anything. And after a little while, we could... Where are you going?
I'm going to take a long walk. And when I return, I shall expect to find you and your husband out of here.
What does that mean?
I'm terribly sorry, my dear, but after all, he is home now, isn't he?
Oh, no, you don't. You're not running out on me.
I'm afraid there's very little you can do about
it. I'll show you what I can do. I'll smear your name in every newspaper in town. I'll... No, I don't mean that, darling.
Just what do you mean,
oh,
Helen?
Oh, please, darling, don't you see I'll need you? I'll be left with nothing. He's out of his mind. How do I know he won't finish what he started, trying to kill me?
What happened then, Mr. Whitcomb? Who killed Helen?
I did. Only way out. She'd have ruined my life.
But now you're safe, aren't you? You've just killed Helen, so now you're safe.
Yes. They'll blame Kenneth. They'll have to. I leave them here. Both of them. Go back to the office.
What about the bag, Helen's overnight bag? You can't leave it here.
I'll take it with me. Go out
back way, make sure no one sees me. I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk anymore.
Maybe you won't have to. I think the policeman here is satisfied.
Yes, I think we are. How long before he snaps out of this?
Oh, just a few minutes. That is, if I stop questioning him.
We're all going down to the DA's office. Get this on the record.
It's against the law to use drugs on prisoners, even a confessed killer like Whitcomb. But you'll tell us the whole story again when we get downtown, won't you, Bub?
What happened? What are you talking about?
Come on. Let's go.
Ready, Kenneth? Now, you too, Doctor. We'll need your testimony.
It's been quite a night, Anne.
Well, I finally got you home, didn't I?
So this is where Richard's lived all this time?
Yes.
Where's his room?
Right at the head of the stairs. Darling, you know he hasn't seen you since he was 4 years old, and he's asleep. I don't think that I...
Yeah, sure, I'll take it easy.
All right.
Anne, please come with me.
Oh, Steve, thank you.
Our stars will return in just a moment for their curtain call.
If you have trouble, trouble, trouble with washing dishes, change to Lux Flakes, and they will bubble, bubble, bubble your troubles away. Make rich suds that work faster, keep hands much smoother, softer. Let Lux bubble your troubles away.
Yes, you can get rid of red, rough dishpan hands simply by changing from strong soaps to Lux Flakes for dishes. Lux Flakes are actually kinder to hands. Hundreds of tests prove it. Try these gentle suds for your dishes. See for yourself how soon your hands are soft, smooth, lovely again. Lux Flakes are thrifty, too, because they go further. Ounce for ounce, Lux Flakes wash up to twice as many dishes as any of 10 other leading soaps tested. Here's Mr. Keeley with our stars.
The lights are up and our stars come down stage again. Here they are, Van Heflin and Janet Leigh. Well, I think that applause says it all.
Thank you, Bill. You know, I'm beginning to feel as though I lived in the Lux Radio Theater.
That's fine, Van. There's no one we'd rather have with us often. And I hope you'll be another star boarder, too, Janet.
Well, so do I, Mr. Keeley.
It's your first appearance here, isn't it, Janet?
Yes, it is, Van. But with a veteran Lux Theater man like yourself around, I knew there was nothing to worry about.
You've just come back from the East, haven't you, Janet?
That's right. I went to Pittsburgh for the world premiere of the new Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, That Foresight Woman.
With the other stars all in Europe, you represented the cast then, huh?
Yes. Greer Garson, Errol Flynn, and Walter Pidgeon all happened to be abroad.
I know the people in Pittsburgh were happy to have such a charming representative.
Why, thank you. I want you to know that you had a representative on the trip, too, Mr. Keeley. I never travel without a box of Lux Flakes tucked in my bag.
Well, that's proving you're a very smart girl, Janet. Now, Bill, won't you tell us about next week's play?
It's a hit musical, Van, with two of Hollywood's top musical stars. The play is the 20th century Fox success, Mother Wore Tights. And the stars are the same ones you saw in the picture, Betty Grable and Dan Daly. The play has a wonderful love story and a lot of grand songs for Betty and Dan.
Well, the audiences will love that, Bill. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, and thank you both. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday evening when the Lux Radio Theater presents Betty Grable and Dan Daly in Mother Wore Tights. This is William Keeley saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Van Heflin and Janet Leigh appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Red Danube, starring Walter Pidgeon and Ethel Barrymore. Heard in tonight's cast were Donald Randolph as Whitcomb, Raymond Largay as Dr. Dunlap, and Gerald Moore, Herbert Ellis, Leo Cleary, Joan Banks, Bill Johnstone, Jay Novello, Shepard Menken, Cliff Clark, Gwen Delano, Bob Griffin, Ruth Parrott, Lou Krugman, Alan Reed Jr., and Eddie Marr. Our play was adapted by S.H. Barnett, and our music was directed by Louis Silvers. This is your announcer, John Milton Kennedy, reminding you to join us again next Monday night to hear Mother Wore Tights, starring Betty Grable and Dan Daly. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
It's at this point of the podcast that we're going to put a plug in for our online streaming radio station, the Radio Theater Channel, which you can get at www.oldtimeradiolisten.com. You go on that website and you scroll down, you'll find a listen button. Just push that, and soon you will be in old time radio heaven with all the great shows from radio's past with restored sound. It's all scheduled, and you're going to love it. So why don't you go there and check it out? www.oldtimeradiolisten.com. Well, I promised High Adventure, and we're going to deliver on that promise right now with High Adventure, The Snakes, from 1977.
Adventure. In tonight's story, we present The Snakes.
Finished here.
Okay. Good night, Grace. See you tomorrow.
Oh, my watch has stopped. What's the time?
Oh, I make it about a minute to 11.
Thanks. Will you be much longer?
No, just a few more minutes. You know, I'm glad this is the last night we'll have to work overtime, at least for a while.
Oh, you're telling me. We'll be turning into bats at this rate. Good night.
Cheerio. Well, now, let's see. Let's get these fires put away, and I can start winding my own way home. Yeah. I'm glad to see the last of you lot. Oh, well, the overtime pay will come in useful. Grief, what was that? What blazes is going on? It sounded like Grace. Grace, is that you?
Oh, get back inside and shut the door quickly.
Hey, what's going on?
I don't know how you get back in the room.
All right. What did you scream for?
There's a snake out there.
What?
A snake. A huge thing. It's at the top of the stairs.
There's a snake at the top of the stairs?
But don't look at me like that. I saw it with my own eyes. It's a huge thing, and it's coming down the corridor.
There aren't any snakes in here. We're in the middle of town.
I'm telling you, there's a huge snake out there. Do I look like I'm playing the fool? Oh. Well, don't open the door.
I want to see this for myself.
Oh. Well?
There's just a snake out there. There's two of them.
Oh.
I think there's a third at the end of the corridor.
Where did they come from?
I'm not sure. The question is, are they dangerous?
Tiptronic tuning from Germany gives the best power reception you'll ever see. There's a tint control and Blaupunkt has got
more than 400,000 extra color dots. That's high, 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 high fidelity.
You get perfect color and clarity. Blaupunkt TV pictures high fidelity.
High, 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 high fidelity.
Hush!
Peugeot 404 Automatic relieves traffic headaches. They're real value for money, incredibly reliable, have minimum maintenance requirements, low running costs. Whatever your motoring problem, the 404 can cure it. Peugeot 404, more than a sugar-coated pill.
We can't just sit in here like this. Call somebody on the phone.
The phone's connected to the switchboard in an office on the other side of the warehouse. At this time of the night, the board's closed. Do you know that?
You mean we can't get an outside light?
That's precisely what I mean.
Well, what are we going to do?
For a start, let's not lose our heads.
Well, you saw the size of the snake out there. I'm not going to try and get down the corridor.
Two of the snakes are pretty big. But the one at the far end of the corridor looked much smaller and of a different color.
Well, don't you know anything about snakes? What sort of poisonous and so on?
All I know about snakes is that they haven't got legs.
Oh, for heaven's sake! But what are the creatures doing here?
I think I know the answer to that.
Well?
Look, Dave was down at the harbor this afternoon. He was collecting something for the zoological gardens in Merrydale. Something that was going to be kept here at the warehouse overnight and transported tomorrow morning.
A consignment of snakes?
Well, I didn't see the documentation. It could have been snakes. They keep them at Merrydale, don't they?
Well, I've no idea.
Look, maybe the snakes were in a container that got damaged and Dave didn't notice it. Now the slithering chums have got free.
You mean the whole warehouse may be full of them?
Oh, no, let's not exaggerate. Those three out in the corridor may be the only ones there were.
And on the other hand, maybe there's dozens of them.
We've got to get out of here.
Well, wouldn't it be safer to stay where we are?
This room's got an open ceiling. A snake may think the rafters are a good tree substitute.
Oh, I don't think I could stand it if a snake appeared in the rafters over my head.
I'll try to keep calm.
Oh, Norman, the door.
Well, what about it?
Oh, there's a gap between the bottom of the door and the floor.
Yes. Oh, it's not more than an inch wide.
But snakes can get through small openings, can't they? They make themselves flat or something. Well, don't they?
I told you, I don't know anything about snakes.
Well, we'd better stuff paper under the door. Oh, come on.
All right, we could use some of the stuff in the bottom of the filing cabinet. Give me a hand. Here, take these.
Right.
Fold the pages.
There's something on the other side of the door. I can hear it.
I'll put the papers.
Oh, be careful.
I will be.
I think one of the snakes is thinking about trying to come under the door.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can discourage him.
Oh.
Yeah. If I fold a few sheets of paper in half, they make a nice wedge.
Well, mind your fingers. Oh.
Sounds like a storm's brewing outside.
Maybe this room had a window.
That wouldn't help. We're on the second floor.
Oh, I think I'd risk jumping.
Yes, and you'd probably break your neck. Anyway, there isn't a window, so the question doesn't arise. That's got the paper wedged under the door.
We can't sit in here all night. We've got to attract someone's attention. Well, what about the night watchman?
Yes. It's a bit after 11 now. He won't be making his rounds of this part of the warehouse until about 12.
Well, maybe he'll see the snake somewhere else in the building and raise the alarm before 12.
Maybe.
Well, if he sees the lights burning here, he may come and investigate.
He knows we've been working overtime all week. He won't think it's suspicious that the lights are on, though.
But the later it gets, the more unlikely it is that anyone's working here.
Yeah, true. He knows we always let ourselves out about 11. I reckon we'll get help in about an hour.
Oh! That thunder wasn't very far away. The storm's going to break before long.
I'll try to relax. You want a cigarette?
Oh, yes, thanks.
Hang on. Here we are. You know, we could probably go down the corridor without being attacked. I mean, if we move quietly and slowly, why should the snakes bother us?
Oh, they give me the creeps. I feel weak at the knees just thinking about them.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, they scare the daylights out of me as well. If only we knew something about them. That's what bothers me, you know, my ignorance about them. The little blighter I noticed at the far end of the corridor looks like the strike now, ask questions afterwards type.
Well, that's the trouble. We don't know a thing about snakes. We could be sitting here making fools of ourselves. And on the other hand, going out into the corridor may be the stupidest thing to do.
Look, I'm going to get a look over the partition into the corridor. Maybe our chums have gone.
Well, stand on this chair.
Oh, thanks. I'll just put it against the partition. And then, up we go. Let's see.
Well, are they still there?
Yes. One, two, three, five, seven. There's seven of them.
What?
There's two really big ones, and the rest are medium-sized, if that's the right expression.
Oh, what are they doing?
Two of them are slithering. The others aren't moving.
Oh!
What's that for?
Look up there, in the rafters.
Where?
Oh, to the right over there.
Oh, I see what you mean.
One of them is going along the rafters. He's going to pass right overhead.
As long as he keeps going, that's fine.
I've never been so scared in my life.
I can't say I'm overjoyed myself.
Oh, I wish that night watchman would get here.
I wish we could phone out.
Perhaps the switchboard left a direct line through here.
Maybe.
She knows we've been working overtime. She may have left us on an outside line.
There's not much hope of that, really. She's a creature of habit. Every night before she knocks off...
I'll try the phone anyway.
All right.
Well?
The line's stone dead.
The snake in the rafters has stopped moving.
So I see.
It's on a beam right over this room.
Now stop worrying, will you? It's up there, not down here.
Oh, I can't stand to have a big snake a few feet above my head.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Suppose it decides to try and come down here.
Why should it want to do that?
Well, how should I know? I don't know how snakes think.
Oh, look, it can't get down here. There's nothing for it to climb on.
I've seen pictures of snakes stretching down from a branch to the ground. And that one up there is long enough to reach the floor.
Well, it isn't trying to do anything of the sort. It's just sitting there. Lying there, whatever you call it.
It's watching us.
Well, stop waving your arms around. I don't think snakes like sudden movements.
Where are my glasses?
What do you want your glasses for?
I read somewhere that snakes spit in your eyes. Haven't you heard of that before?
Yes, I think I have. Well, maybe the snake up there isn't that sort.
They're all that sort, aren't they?
He may not even be poisonous. For all we know, he's more frightened of us than we are of him.
Oh, don't talk rubbish. He doesn't look frightened.
How do you know what a frightened snake looks like, anyway?
I don't think snakes get frightened. I don't think they've got those sort of feelings.
I'm sure if we just ignore him, he won't do us any harm. And for heaven's sake, keep still.
Oh, that nearly made me jump out of my skin.
Oh, dear me. The rain's starting, listen.
Why doesn't that infernal night watchman come here?
It's another 30 or 40 minutes at least before he starts heading this way.
Something's pushing on the papers you jammed under the door.
I wedged them in tight. It's all right.
The big snakes I saw in the corridor looked like... What are they called? Pythons. Was it a python?
I told you, I don't know anything about snakes. Maybe it was a boa constrictor.
Well, they
maybe...
crush you to death, don't they?
Yeah, something like that. But he can't get in here. I don't think they go around looking for people to crush anyway. At least I don't think so.
Oh, I can't handle this. I think I'm going to be sick.
No, you aren't. Now, come on, sit down in this chair. Come on, sit down. That's right.
Fire. That's it. Fire.
What?
Snakes don't like fire. I read that somewhere. Snakes and all wild creatures, they're frightened of fire.
That's true. But we can't start a fire in here.
Well, can't you throw some burning papers over the top of the partition into the corridor?
It's a wooden floor. We could set the warehouse alight.
We can't just sit here.
Look, so far we're perfectly safe. We've just got to be patient.
I told you I can't take this. I'm terrified of snakes.
And I admitted that they scare me as well, but we aren't going to start making fires in here.
Well, think of something else, then.
We've just got to be patient, Grace, until the night watchman shows up. When he does the rounds in this part of the building, we'll call out to him.
It's moving.
What?
Up there. The snake, it's moving.
You're right.
It's coming down. Look at it. It's starting to come down.
Oh, that was close.
The lights are dimming. They're going out. The lights are going out.
Oh, Grace, steady on, will you? Steady.
Oh, it's pitch black now. We're in the dark and that snake is coming down.
All right, Grace, I'm with you. I'm right here.
We're in the pitch black, surrounded by snakes.
Coffee pot taste. Pour out the instant coffee haze.
Instant Coffee Haze's unique process actually traps that delicious taste and aroma of percolating coffee. So you get that coffee pot taste in every can of Instant Coffee Haze.
Coffee haze traps the taste that's too good to waste. Pour out the coffee pot taste. Pour out the instant coffee haze.
Choose from Instant Coffee Haze medium roast powder and Instant Coffee Haze full roast granules.
Peugeot 404 Automatique relieves traffic headaches. They're real value for money. Incredibly reliable. Have minimum maintenance requirements. Low running costs. Whatever your motoring problem, the 404 can cure it. Peugeot 404. More than a sugar-coated pill.
Tectonic Tuning from Germany gives the best power reception you'll ever see. There's a tint control and Blaupunkt has got
more than 400,000 extra color dots. That's high, 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 high fidelity.
You get perfect color and clarity. Blaupunkt TV Pictures High Fidelity.
High, 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 high fidelity.
I'll get some light from my cigarette lighter. Just a second.
Oh, hurry up.
Yeah, that's better. Where's the snake?
It's just hanging there. It isn't moving. What's the matter with it?
I don't think there's anything the matter with it. It's just decided to stop moving.
But it's hanging halfway down from the rafter.
I think that's how some snakes behave.
Oh.
This lighter won't last long. We need something else for light.
Well, if we make a small fire in the waste paper bin, there shouldn't be any danger of it spreading. Not if we're very careful.
Get some more paper out of that cabinet. Right. Take the stuff from the bottom drawer. It isn't important. I'll get the metal bin. I don't like this idea at all. If we set the building on fire, we'll be in even worse trouble.
Oh, look what I found.
What is it?
Well, you remember Mrs. Castle's birthday last week? She brought a cake. Do you remember?
What's that got to do
with it? Oh, there are a few little candles on it, and afterwards somebody must have put them in here on top of this cabinet, see?
They aren't very big, are they?
Well, it's better than nothing. If we use them one at a time, they should last until the watchman gets around here.
We can use this ashtray as a holder. Give me one of the candles.
You are.
Right. Let's light it. Just run a little wax into the ashtray. Then stick the base of the candle in it before it's hardened. And hey, presto.
The snake hasn't moved again. It's still just hanging there.
Listen, do you hear that?
It's somebody whistling.
Ah, the night watchman.
Oh.
I'll give him a shout. Hello there!
The thunder was too loud. He didn't hear you. But call again.
Confound this infernal weather. Hello there! Do you hear me?
Oh, the rain's making a terrible racket on the roof.
No, I heard the corridor exit door open and close. He's gone.
But call again.
Hello there! Hello!
You're right. He's gone.
He must have just passed through the corridor without checking this far. The lazy fool. He won't come back for another hour at least.
I can't stay here another hour. Not with that thing dangling like that. I won't be able to stand it.
Maybe we should just try to get to the end of the corridor. The watchman didn't seem to see anything out there. He must have swept his torch around, surely.
It doesn't seem as though he was being very methodical. He was apparently just crossing at the end of the corridor without paying any attention to this direction.
With the electricity off, he probably thinks we've gone home.
I'm not going out into the corridor in the dark. There's boxes and things stacked out there. The stakes could be behind them or on top of them, anywhere.
I'll tell you what, I'll chance it. I'll bolt down the corridor and get her.
I'm not staying here by myself.
All right, well then come with me. We'd probably get out perfectly safely.
I'm not going out there.
Listen, you can't be any more frightened of snakes than I am. Believe me, they really scare me. If I wasn't so blessed scared of them, I'd have gone out long ago. But we can't hang around in this room all night.
I'll faint before I get two steps away.
I can't stay here with that snake dangling from the rafter.
What, do you think I like it? Well, at least we can see it. Going out through the warehouse in the dark is something else.
We're acting like a couple of silly children. Look, if we go out slowly and carefully...
No! Think of something else.
Wait a minute. I've just thought of something.
Well, what?
Mr. Rowland goes to the bank tomorrow, right? It is Friday tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, it's Friday tomorrow, but so what? What are you talking about?
Well, he collects wages for the temporary staff.
Oh, yes?
And he takes a gun with him, a revolver.
Oh, yes. Oh, but he keeps the gun in his office, and that's on the other side of the building.
No. On Thursday afternoons, he puts the gun in the safe in here, because he stops in here first thing on Fridays and then goes directly to the bank.
You mean there's a gun in the safe? In here?
Well, there should be.
Well, do you know the combination?
Yes.
Well, don't just stand there. Get it open.
Right.
Well, why didn't you think of this before?
I don't claim to be perfect.
Oh, would it be our luck that the gun isn't in the safe?
Well, it should be there. What's the snake on the rafter doing?
Nothing. It's still just hanging down like a piece of cable. Oh, hurry up with the lock.
I'm going as fast as I can.
Is the gun in there?
It should be in this drawer.
Well? Well, isn't it there?
Yes, here it is.
Oh.
See?
Thank heavens.
Uh-oh. There's a problem.
What problem?
It isn't loaded.
But it must be loaded. What use is an empty gun?
Oh, you know what a fastidious character Mr. Rowland is. He probably thinks it's dangerous to leave a gun around loaded.
Well, it isn't lying around. It was locked in the safe.
Well, either he keeps the ammunition somewhere else and brings it with him to load the gun on Friday mornings before he goes to the bank, or the bullets are somewhere separately in the safe.
Well, look for them.
I am looking for them.
The snake's moving.
What?
Look, it's moving. It's making for the top of the partition.
So I see.
It's going to come down in here with us. Oh, for heaven's sake, find the ammunition.
All right, all right. Keep your eye on the snake. Maybe the bullets are in one of these other drawers.
Oh, the candle's gone out.
It was just a little birthday candle. Light another one.
Well, you've got the lighter.
Just a second.
Hurry up.
Oh, I left the lighter on the desk.
Oh, you idiot.
Well, take it easy. I'll fetch it.
You can't see a thing in this darkness. And the snake's coming down.
The lighter on the edge of the desk. I'll just feel around.
Well, can't you find it?
Oh, yes, here it is. Oh!
Oh, now what?
I knocked it on the floor.
Oh, are you crazy or something?
Relax, I'll find it. It's here somewhere.
Oh, please, find it.
I've got it. There. Where are the other candles?
Here. I've got them.
Right, let's get another one burning. Thanks. Now, hold it steady.
Right. Oh, hurry up.
Relax, will you? I'm just as scared as you are. There's no point in panicking. I can't keep my hand still. There. The candle's burning.
Look. The snake's gone. It came down in the dark. Oh, where's it gone?
Maybe it went down the other side of the partition.
And maybe it came down on this side. Oh, find the ammunition for the revolver.
All right, all right.
Oh.
We're lucky it's in one of these drawers.
Well, isn't it there?
Apparently not. I wonder if he put it in this firebox at the back of the safe.
Oh, I can see the snake.
What? Where?
In the corner. Over there. It's moving along the floor next to the partition.
Yes, I see him.
Norman, we're trapped.
All right, all right. Oh, I found the bullets.
Oh.
They were in the firebox.
Well, load the gun.
Oh, that's funny. I can't get the cylinder open. Oh, there must be a trick to it.
Well, don't you know anything about guns?
No, I don't. At least not this sort of revolver.
Oh, you're marvelous. You know nothing about snakes and you know nothing about guns. How much use are you?
Oh, this is no time to point out my weaknesses. Please lay off. Where's the snake now?
He's reached the corner. He's going to start coming this way.
What are we going to do? Let's get on the desk.
Come on. Right.
Now be careful with the candles. Oh, blast, it's gone out.
Oh, light it again, quickly.
All right, all right. There. Now, climb on the desk. Don't wave the candle about or it'll go out again.
For pity's sake, load the gun.
I'm trying my best. Look, I can't help it if I don't know how the thing opens. Must be a blooming antique. Trust Roland to have a revolver that came out of the Ark.
Well, it looks in good condition. You know what a fusspot he is.
Yes, I know. Where's the snake?
Oh, it's going into the safe.
What? Well, we can shut him in there.
Well, he isn't properly inside yet.
He will be in a few minutes.
Still all the snakes out in the corridor. Are you sure you can't load that gun?
I'm trying.
Well, try harder.
You're hardly a pillar of strength yourself.
Oh, he's in the safe. Oh, shut the door. Go on.
All right.
Oh, hurry before it gets out.
Well, don't push me.
Well, hurry up.
Well, that's taken care of him.
Oh. Help me down from the desk, please.
Here, take my hand.
Thanks.
Oh, blast, the candle's gone out again.
Oh, the electric electricity is working.
Oh, good.
The lights have come on.
Oh, that's a big help.
Well, now maybe the watchman will see the lights and come here to find out what's going on.
Ah, I've got the gun open. Look.
Well, load it.
All right.
I'll get on the chair and take another look in the corridor. Now then, take a look.
Anything there?
Corridors. All of them. And there's a giant right in front of the door. Oh, you'd need a machine gun to bite your way to the end of the corridor.
You know, if you and I weren't a couple of bachelors, we could have expected our families to report us missing by now. Oh. But it looks as if we're going to have to wait for the watchman to come to our rescue.
At least we haven't got any more of the snakes in here with us. Mind, I'm coming down.
Now, if any do somehow get in here, at least we've got Roland's revolver now.
Norman, I'm sorry I shouted at you earlier on.
That's all right. I think we've both been a little rattled, to say the least.
To say the least.
You know, Grace, when we get out of here, I'll buy you a present.
What?
Nice snakeskin handbag,
Oh, Norman. I'm not sure I think that's funny.
All right, maybe not. Now, look, we'd better listen for the watchman. He didn't notice the snakes when he crossed at the end of the corridor last time, but now that the lights are on again, he's in for a nasty surprise.
Was poeier het 'n unieke wasdagformule. Die enzymaksie weet die ergste vuil en vlekke uit en die skoonmaakaksie was dit weer skitterend. Ja, Punch was al jou wasgoed vlekloos skoon en wit.
Weer vlekke uit, was betekent met enzymaktieve Punch.
Oh no, look at that frying pan, I'll never get it clean.
Say goodbye to elbow grease, new Lemon Swift is here, the grime-busting scourer.
Add water to new Lemon Swift and it goes green, releasing a grime-busting scouring power that cuts right through baked, hard, stuck-down dirt. New Lemon Swift leaves nothing behind but a sparkle and the fresh, fresh smell of new-picked lemons.
Lemon Swift goes green and grime is gone.
Peugeot 404 Automatique relieves traffic headaches. They're real value for money, incredibly reliable, have minimum maintenance requirements, low running costs. Whatever your motoring problem, the 404 can cure it. Peugeot 404, more than a sugar-coated pill.
What's the time?
Oh, let's see. It's just...
Oh, the phone's ringing.
So I noticed.
But the line was dead when we checked it earlier. The switchboard had disconnected.
Somebody must be phoning from the switchboard itself. Hello? Yes, speaking.
But who is it?
It's the night watchman. He saw the lights were still on in here.
Well, tell him to call someone to get us out of here.
Hello? Yes, I'm still here. I was talking to Miss Griffith. She's with me. No, listen to me carefully. We're trapped by snakes. Yes, I know it seems unbelievable, but snakes... I don't know where they came from, but we think they might have escaped from one of the containers in the warehouse. There was a delivery for Maryland, remember?
Well, tell him to call the police.
Please, telephone Mr. Dave Watson at his home and then call the police, please. Yes, that's right. And in the meantime, you'd better keep away from this part of the building. It will probably be dangerous. There are snakes all over the corridor. Yes, and connect this phone to an open line, please. Thanks very much. Thank you. Goodbye.
Norman, why did you tell him to phone Dave Watson?
Well, Dave will get in touch with someone at the Merrydale Zoological Gardens.
Oh.
You realize we'll be out of here before much longer. Snakes alive. It's been quite a night, hasn't it, Grace?
Hi,
Adventure is produced by Henry Diffenthal.
Well, it's time for me to decamp for the week, but we'll be back next week with more great old-time radio. I'm Jim Dolan. I hope you can make it to listen to more